Amen. Well, our Old Testament reading this evening is Judges chapter 9, a little bit longer than the passage Josh read earlier from Galatians 5. But we're in Judges chapter 9 this evening as we pick back up in our series in the book of Judges. And we find these sobering yet God-breathed words through which, even through these words, we hear our Savior's voice and we see something of our great need of our Savior and His salvation freely given. Judges chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Now Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem, to his mother's relatives, and said to them and to the whole clan of his mother's family, "Say in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal rule over you, or that one rule over you? Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh." And his mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our brother." And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows who followed him. And he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the leaders of Shechem came together, and at Beth-Milo, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar at Shechem. When it was told to Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and cried aloud and said to them, "Listen to me, you leaders of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The trees once went out to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my abundance by which gods and men are honored and go hold sway over the trees?' And the tree said to the fig tree, 'You come and reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go hold sway over the trees?' And the tree said to the vine, 'You come and reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Shall I leave my wine that cheers God and men and go hold sway over the trees?' Then all the trees said to the bramble, 'You come and reign over us.' And the bramble said to the trees, 'If in good faith you are anointing me king over you, then come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you acted in good faith and integrity when you made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house and have done to him as his deeds deserve, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of Midian, and you have risen up against my father's house this day and have killed his son, 70 men on one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the leaders of Shechem because he is your relative. If you have acted in good faith and integrity with Jerubbaal and his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech. And let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the leaders of Shechem and Beth Millo. And let fire come out from the leaders of Shechem and from Beth Millo and devour Abimelech." Then Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and lived there because of Abimelech, his brother. Abimelech ruled over Israel 3 years. And God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the leaders of Shechem. And the leaders of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to kill his brothers. And the leaders of Shechem put men in ambush against him on the mountaintops, and they robbed all who passed by them along that way, and it was told to Abimelech. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, moved into Shechem with his relatives, and the leaders of Shechem put confidence in him. And they went out into the field and gathered the grapes from their vineyards and trod them and held a festival. And they went into the house of their god and ate and drank and reviled Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech? And who are we of Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal? And is not Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But why should we serve him? Would that his people were under my hand. Then I would remove Abimelech. I would say to Abimelech, 'Increase your army and come out.'" When Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. And he sent messengers to Abimelech secretly, saying, "Behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his relatives have come to Shechem, and they are stirring up the city against you. Now, therefore, go by night, you and the people who are with you, and set an ambush in the field. Then, in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, rise early and rush upon the city. And when he and the people who are with him come out against you, you may do to them as your hand finds to do." So Abimelech and all the men who were with him rose up by night and set an ambush against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance of the gate of the city, and Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from the ambush. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, "Look, people are coming down from the mountaintops." And Zebul said to him, "You mistake the shadow of the mountains for men." Gaal spoke again and said, "Look, people are coming down from the center of the land, and one company is coming from the direction of the diviner's oak." Then Zebul said to him, "Where is your mouth now, you who said, 'Who is Abimelech that we should serve him?' Are not these the people whom you despised? Go out now and fight with them." And Gaal went out at the head of the leaders of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many fell wounded up to the entrance of the gate. And Abimelech lived in Arumah, and Zebul drove out Gaal and his relatives so that they could not dwell at Shechem. On the following day, the people went out into the field, and Abimelech was told. He took his people and divided them into three companies and set an ambush in the fields. And he looked and saw the people coming out of the city. So he rose against them and killed them. Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city, while the two companies rushed upon all who were in the field and killed them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He captured the city and killed the people who were in it, and he razed the city and sowed it with salt. When all the leaders of the tower of Shechem heard of it, they entered the stronghold of the house of El-Bereth. Abimelech was told that all the leaders of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech went up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people who were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bundle of brushwood and took it up and laid it on his shoulder. And he said to the men who were with him, "What you have seen me do, hurry and do as I have done." So every one of the people cut down his bundle and following Abimelech, put it against the stronghold. And they set the stronghold on fire over them, so that all the people of the tower of Shechem also died, about 1,000 men and women. Then Abimelech went to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and captured it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and all the men and women and all the leaders of the city fled to it and shut themselves in it, and they went up to the roof of the tower. And Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it and drew near to the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest they say of me, 'A woman killed him.'" And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, everyone departed to his home. Thus God returned the evil of Abimelech, which he committed against his father in killing his 70 brothers. And God also made all the evil of the men of Shechem return on their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we consider these sobering words, we do pray that you would work in our hearts and that you would make us instruments of your peace, not of destruction, but of peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, let us sow pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O gracious Father, grant that we might not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we experience pardon. And it is in dying to self that we experience the eternal, abundant life your Son came to give. So equip and change us by your Spirit as we consider these your holy words. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we considered the key to a life of blessing, receiving blessings from God that are given without measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, pouring out into our laps. Way too many blessings for us to keep to ourselves, blessings we've just got to share with others. We heard from Jesus that such a life of spiritual prosperity, of felicity in the Lord, of contagious joy, of faithfulness and fruitfulness comes not through judgment, not through vindictiveness, not through condemnation, but rather through forgiveness and generosity. That is the blessed life. And that blessed life is pretty much the opposite of what took place in the life, tenure, and death of Abimelech. You may remember from our previous studies in Judges that Abimelech was the son of Jerubbaal, as we were reminded this evening. Jerubbaal, also known as Gideon, he was the son of Gideon and Gideon's concubine at Shechem. Gideon was a man of faith, real faith. He honored the Lord in his life, not perfectly, but really a man of faith, and thus he is honored in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But again, Gideon was not without his failures, and it seems that he allowed his military victories, this man of faith, who had seen God work on his behalf over and over, who had confessed repeatedly and demonstrated repeatedly his own fear, but God had sought to assuage those fears by assuring Gideon that he was with him, that he was going to give him the victory. Gideon had watched the Lord give victory after victory, reducing his army to 300 men in order to get the glory alone for those victories. Gideon had witnessed this. Gideon had experienced this. But Gideon started to take some of the glory for those victories for himself, rather than giving all the glory to God. And though he initially refused the title of king over Israel, remember they wanted to make him king, and Gideon said, no, there's only one king in Israel, and his name is Yahweh, the Lord. He alone is king in Israel. Gideon's subsequent actions betrayed the fact that he was not dealing with pride in his own heart. He even named his son, this son of his concubine, Abimelech, which means what? My father is king. So Gideon betraying through the naming of his son what was going on in his own heart. So this legacy of pride, rather than Gideon's legacy of faith, is what Abimelech chose to inherit. You know, you have a choice about what you inherit, maybe not your looks, okay? But spiritually speaking, what you inherit from your parents. Parents are a mixed bag of good and not so good. What are you going to allow to be passed on to you? What are you going to inherit from them? Gideon, a man of faith, strong faith, victorious faith. Abimelech chose not that faith to be his inheritance. He chose, rather, Gideon's pride to be his spiritual inheritance. Arrogance, sadly, to be his spiritual inheritance. Again, you have a choice. What are you going to choose as your inheritance from the legacy of your parents? And so Abimelech's life, because of this choice, was not one of blessing for himself or for others. Instead, it was much more like the other image we heard Jesus speak of this morning, of a blind man, a man blinded with his own pride, who falls into a pit of calamity, a pit of destruction, and who leads others who are blindly following him to do the same. Abimelech, because of his pride and lust for power and envy and jealousy, led a tragic life of destruction for himself and others. So let's consider this sobering narrative about Abimelech's destruction under 2 points this evening. First, Abimelech's destruction of others. And second, the destruction that befell Abimelech. In the first place, Abimelech's destruction of others. Again, as we considered God's will in the sixth commandment, as helpfully explained from the Heidelberg Catechism, we were given a window into the root of the destruction that was caused by Abimelech. And to one degree or another, in the life of anyone who allows such things to go unconfessed and unrepented of. Taking root in Abimelech's heart were what? Envy, hatred, anger, vindictiveness, rather than patience, peace, love, gentleness, mercy, friendship, a desire to protect rather than harm others, a desire to do good even to our enemies. It's a reminder that our hearts are always going in one of those two directions, either towards bitterness, grudges, vindictiveness, envy, jealousy, or towards forgiveness, kindness, mercy, grace, and love. We must always be cultivating that second direction. Otherwise, we will naturally drift toward the other. Abimelech, in fact, because he did not deal with these sins in his life, I mean, it's not like he just woke up one day and said, I'm going to kill 70 of my 70 brothers. This is a life of not dealing with envy and greed and a lust for power and all that comes with it. And so because he did not deal with his heart, confess his heart to the Lord, ask the Lord to circumcise his heart, change his heart, do a heart transplant, because he did not deal with his sins, Abimelech became hell-bent on obtaining power. What stood in the way of that power? His 70 brothers, half-brothers. Remember, Gideon had many wives. So he conspired to destroy them. He used the people of Shechem, his relatives on his mother's side, like pawns to destroy them. And they did destroy them, except for the youngest brother, Jotham. Jotham's fable was an indictment of Abimelech. Jotham and his brothers were those symbols of blessing in ancient Israel. The olive tree, the fig tree, the grape vine. And they were not lusting for power. They were not seeking to gain power by whatever means. But Abimelech was the bramble. You notice what Abimelech did at the end of the narrative, collecting bramble, collecting brush to be burned. Completely, Jotham's prophecy completely fulfilled. Abimelech was the bramble who was seeking to gain power, whatever it took. Behind Abimelech's destructive ways, I mean, we ought to see Abimelech. We ought to have a certain righteous indignation against what he did. Fratricide kills his brothers, 70 of them. Of course, the first murder was fratricide, Cain and Abel. You see that writ large here. The results of the fall in Abimelech. We ought to have a certain righteous indignation against what he did. We ought to see ourselves in what he did, repent of our own envy and vindictiveness and anger. But we also ought to feel sorry for him, really. We ought to have pity on this man. He is a picture of lostness, a picture of emptiness. And sadly, behind Abimelech's destructive ways was surely the fact that he did not find his identity in being a child of the God of Israel. And that's what he was. He was a member of the household of Israel, but he did not experientially find his identity in being a child of the God of Israel, an heir to the promises made to Abraham. Instead, he seems to have found his identity in being a child of Gideon's concubine. That seemed to have overshadowed his life. He never seemed to be able to shake it. He seemed to be embarrassed by it. Had a chip on his shoulder because of it. Jealous of his brothers who had been born to Gideon's wives. And so he allowed his identity to become that of an illegitimate child who had to prove himself. That was the problem. Who thought he had to prove himself. Rather than finding his identity as a beloved child of God, saved by grace, and thus with nothing to prove. Nothing to prove. Because it's all grace. All he would have to do if he found his identity as a child of God, just rest, bask in his Father's love, and out of that, love others as he had been loved. Abimelech reminds us that when we find our identity in anything other than being God's child, we tend to be those who tear down rather than build up. We tend to be those who hurt rather than heal. So in the first place, Abimelech's destruction of others. And in the second place, the destruction that befell Abimelech. Jotham's fable, as we've already touched on, was not just a fable, it was a prophecy. It foretold what was coming. The destruction of the bramble, Abimelech, and those who had conspired with him. Indeed, God sent confusion and division between Abimelech and the leaders of Shechem. That's the evil spirit, or the spirit of confusion, the spirit of calamity, spirit of destruction. We've seen God do this before, as recently as with Gideon's 300 men. Remember when Gideon's 300 men blew their trumpets? What did the opposing armies do? They turned on each other. They became confused, and they turned on each other, and they destroyed each other, and the sword of Israel never left the sheath. With Zebul's help, Abimelech destroyed Gaal and the men of Shechem who gathered with him, but there was nothing that could be done for Abimelech when it came to withstanding the judgment of the Lord. At the Lord's appointed time, in the Lord's appointed way. The only thing that could have been done for Abimelech was repentance. But in his unrepentant state, the judgment had to come. God is a just and holy God. The hand of the Lord, therefore, was unmistakably revealed in the way in which Abimelech met his destruction. A woman on top of a tower threw a millstone, picked up a millstone, and threw it down from that tower, and it crushed the head, crushed the skull of Abimelech. Have you ever seen a millstone? Have you ever tried to pick up a millstone? I remember years ago, I mean, that's probably 20 years ago, when Sally's mother and father were living on this tract of land where Sally grew up. I mean, it was in a neighborhood, but it was a tract of land that went deep into the woods. And there was this old creek there, and beside the creek, there was an old stagecoach, you know, a wagon trail, an old road. This is down in Georgia. They probably used it to scoop moonshine around, okay? But there was this, evidently, somebody had been carrying a millstone in a wagon, you know, and the millstone fell off. Well, the person driving the wagon couldn't pick it up. I mean, a millstone, you're talking hundreds, if not thousands of pounds. And so the driver of this, he just had to leave it there and keep going on his journey. And it was never picked up. And so Sally's mother had this wonderful idea. She wanted that millstone in the little flower garden behind her house. Well, guess who was volunteered to try to get the millstone? Well, I was, plus about a half a dozen other men from their church. And so we went down there. This was maybe the week before Christmas. We went down there and we, you know, strutted our way down there. Well, we didn't strut out, I can tell you that much. We could not budge that thing. Half a dozen men. And they ended up renting some you know, whatchamacallit, that they were able to lift up that thing and drive it out of there, those who were, you know, skilled in such matters. And it sat there, and it was beautiful in her garden. But you see, God was trying to say here, just as he had said, this is my doing through Gideon's 300 men, he was trying to say, this is my doing here. This millstone, first of all, how'd the millstone get up on the tower? A lot of men. Secondly, maybe a pulley system, we don't know. Secondly, most importantly, a woman picked it up and threw it down there. This was unmistakably God's hand of judgment against Abimelech. This was the hand of the Lord catching up with Abimelech. This was unmistakably Abimelech being judged with the same judgment with which he had judged his brothers. Even as he was dying, his pride gripped him. Draw your sword and kill me, lest they say a woman killed him. Unlike his father, Abimelech was not a man of faith in the true and living God. His worship was of himself. He incarnated Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Whereas Gideon, with all his faults, is honored in the hall of faith. The only other time Abimelech is mentioned in Scripture is in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 21. Now, what was going on in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 21? Well, that is where David conspired to have Uriah the Hittite killed in battle by putting him up near the wall of a besieged city where the fighting was the hardest. That is where Abimelech is mentioned. In other words, the way that Uriah died was compared to the death of Abimelech. So that was Abimelech's legacy. Conspiring against others, destroying his brothers, and ending in his own destruction. And so his legacy should make us ask, what legacy am I working on? As it's been said, it's not the dates on our tombstone that matter as much as the dash in between them. What are we doing with that dash? Let us remember the dash left by Abimelech and ask the Lord to grant us repentance of lust for power, of envy, hatred, anger, and vindictiveness. Let us remember Abimelech and ask that the Lord will help us find our identity in being his beloved adopted child with nothing to prove, free from a life of proving ourselves, and thus free to love as he has loved us. And with Abimelech in mind, let us remember the words of our New Testament reading from Galatians 5. What did you call it? Auto-cannibalism? I think that's going to stick with us. Auto-cannibalism. Galatians chapter 5, Paul said, You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.